The more you serve God, the freer you get. And the more you serve sin and Satan, the more bound you get. So it's a choice, and everybody is serving one of those two. Let me promise you something. Jesus' yoke is easy, and his burden is light.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled Kingdom Values. This is chapter 2 in the series called The Foundation That Does Not Fall. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Many well-meaning Christians are not fully aware of just how important it is that we follow Paul's injunction to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In our current ungodly culture, false ideas and values come our way from every corner. And if we're not careful, we'll accept those values rather than the values of the kingdom of God. In his teaching, Jesus taught values, kingdom values. He showed us what should matter to us and what shouldn't, what we should honor and what we should shun. He's not just our Savior, but he is our teacher in all things. So in today's message, I want to share with you some of the values that Jesus taught. I believe it's going to be an eye-opening message. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, Kingdom Values, from the series I've called The Foundation That Does Not Fall. Materialism. I live to acquire stuff. I'm all about things, money, possessions. That's materialism. Relativism. Here's a big one. Relativism is a cultural value. What is it? It's truth is what I decide it is. Oh, that's going on. Big time. Truth is what I decide it is. Don't tell me what your Bible says, because truth is what I decide it is. My truth is my truth. You have your truth. I got my truth. We can both just accept each other's truth. We'll be happy. But is that true about truth? No. Here's a big one. Pluralism. There is no one way to God or heaven. Cultural values, careerism, individualism, consumerism, materialism, relativism, pluralism, those are all cultural values. Did you notice that all those cultural values revolve around me, my, and I? It's all about me, my, and I, and mine. Now let me give you some kingdom values. Ready? The kingdom of God comes first, not me. Kingdom of God comes first, not me. Jesus is the center of my world, not me. That's another one. Spiritual riches are more important than material things. There's another one. There's only one way to heaven. Sorry, America, there's only one way to heaven. The man, Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. There's only one who died on a cross for you. Only one who rose from the dead. And see, in a pluralistic society, we don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that at all. Don't tell me that. There's not just one way to God. I've seen major, major talk show television personalities go right on live television and say that. Don't tell me there's only one way to God. There's many ways to God. No, there's not. If you have a kingdom value, the kingdom value is there's only one way. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the man Christ Jesus. That's a kingdom value. God's word is truth. God's word is truth, not what I decide is true. That's a kingdom value. If God says it, that's true. Whether I like it or not, it's still true. Amen? I honor what God honors, and I value what he values. That's a kingdom value. Now, do you notice that none of those values revolve around you? They revolve around him. He's number one, numero uno. He's my fire. He's my savior. He's my wisdom. He's my guide. He's my teacher. He's my life. He's my redeemer. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. They all revolve around him. So here's a question for you. How can we as Christians impact a society when our values are just like theirs? You know what? We can't. Watch this, church. It's those Christians who have had their minds renewed and they're walking in kingdom values. Because listen, Christianity won't work without kingdom values. People say, I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. No, you didn't. You didn't try the real Christianity, because the real Christianity will work every time. But you've got to have kingdom values. You've got to put him first. You've got to put him first. He's got to be the center of your universe. You've got to yield your life to him, crucify your flesh. You've got to die to yourself to live unto God. You've got to seek him with all of your heart. There's things you've got to do. And if you do what he said to do, Christianity will more than work. You will walk and not faint. You will run and not be weary. You will fly like an eagle. You will have victory in your life. So let me share with you three kingdom values, and it's but for sure not exhaustive. There's many more, but let me share three key kingdom values Jesus taught that if we embrace them, we will have a life that pleases him, and we will impact our society for Jesus, which is what I want to do. I don't want to be a little church on the side of the highway in our little church bubble, having church, introverted, inverted. I want to get out there, and I want to confront the culture in love. And I want to see the culture affected by the gospel and by the kingdom of God. I want to see multitudes come into the kingdom. I want people to know that this church is here not because they see us on the highway, but because they've heard and felt the impact of Jesus Christ going out of these four walls into society, into the streets, into the highways, and into the hedges. So if you're going to have that, you've got to have these kingdom values. Now here's the first one, what you honor. Everybody say what you honor. Here's a kingdom value, what you honor, what you honor. When Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, he began with these words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now that word hallowed is so powerful. It means to make holy, to treat as holy, to set apart as holy, to regard something as special and sacred. Hallowed be your name is a phrase about honor. Now they asked Jesus, how do we pray, Jesus? And he began with honoring God. Now listen, folks, everybody in here honors something. And I promise you, the culture out there, the godless culture, the Christless culture, they honor things too. But they don't honor what God honors. When I was lost, I sure didn't honor what God honors. It matters what you honor. As a matter of fact, what you honor is going to decide whether or not you're salty for Jesus, whether or not you've got victory, whether or not you're on the right path, what you honor. See, one of the things that has really dismayed me is how in the last couple of decades, have you noticed how many terrible things have been happening in churches, shootings and this, that, and the other, terrible stuff happening in church sanctuaries? And you know what has struck me? Used to, nobody would have even considered going into a sanctuary and doing anything like that. You know why? Because we considered the sanctuary sacred, therefore we honored the sanctuary. It wasn't just a building, it was where we met God. But that honor has been leaking out of our culture. And I guarantee you, that is a clear sign of a culture slipping into depravity. When you stop honoring God and what God honors. Jesus taught that our highest honor should go first to God the Father and everything he stands for. He said, when you pray, you honor God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, honorable, sacred, holy is your name. This is a kingdom value. Watch this. What you honor reveals your core values every time. What you honor. And what we honor, have you noticed, we will defend it, we will protect it, and if we have to, we'll even risk our lives or give our lives for it. What we honor. What we honor. I was watching a little YouTube video this week of this group of people who decided to burn a flag. Give me an example. Oh, they threw it on the ground. They're stepping on it and stomping on it and carrying on like a bunch of savages. Then they decided to pick it up and light it on fire. Now, I'm watching this, And they're doing this with it and desecrating it and doing what they do. And all of a sudden, out of this crowd comes this man. And he is just a skinny little guy, older guy. Ooh, he was mad. And he made like a bullet for this group. And he grabbed that flag and ripped it out of their hands and ran with it and stomped the fire out and saved it. And the news people caught him later and said, why did you do that? What was, he said, I served in the Marines. He said, I stood next to men who died for that flag. And he said, I went out this morning to get a cup of coffee, and I was coming home with my coffee, and I see this going on. And when I looked at it, I couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it. Because they were desecrating what I honor. Because one of my core values is my country. So I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand there and take it. I had to move and do something about it. And I saved my flag. And if you ask me, would I do it again? He said, watch me. Now see, let me just flip that to a little bit more spiritual level, because I'm not just here to talk about patriotism. I feel that way about this book. See, I honor this book because I know this is the Word of God. This is not any book. This is the greatest book on the planet, and it's the only book on earth. Now watch this. It's the only book on earth that didn't come from earth. Well, Jeff, you're really UFO freaking me out here. No, let me tell you something. It didn't come from earth in this way. All scripture is inspired by God. It's breathed out by God. Holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote this book. 40 different authors, over 1,500 years, and yet it all agrees. It's all a great, incredible, intact unity. It's as if they all got together and conspired together to write a book that would not disagree with itself, would not contradict itself, and yet they didn't. They were carried out over a span of 1,500 years, and God gave us this book. So if I see you desecrating this book, it's going to have a greater effect on me than if I saw you desecrating any other book on the planet. Because to me, it's the Word of the living God. So I honor it. It's part of my core values. My core value is I love this book. And so I honor it. But guess what? More than the Word of God, I honor the God of the Word. Because I'm not going to honor this book if I don't honor Him. So Jesus knew that all honor goes back to God. He said, when you begin to honor whatever you honor, it needs to begin with God. If you begin with God, then you will honor everything else that God honors. Jesus Himself talked about how He honored the Father. One day, he told a hostile crowd these words, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. He's saying that to the Pharisees. He's saying, your dishonoring of God has led you to dishonor me. Because Jesus said, if you receive me, you receive the one that sent me. If you reject me, you reject the one that sent me. So when you honor God, you will honor everything that proceeds from God. So Jesus is saying, your dishonoring of God has led you to dishonor me. But on the other hand, I honor the Father. The Son of God said that. I honor the Father. Honoring God above all else matters because, as I've already stated, when we honor Him, we're going to honor everything that He honors. Let me give you an example. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. Doesn't it? But there's a whole lot of people that look me in the eye and go, you know, Jeff, that's ridiculous because my mother and father abused me. They were terrible. I grew up in an alcoholic home or whatever. And so how can I honor the dishonorable? Here's how. When you honor God, it gives you the power to honor what in the natural you can't. You honor them because you honor Him. Amen. Now, I could spend a whole Sunday on that. But notice how honor, when you honor God, it trickles down into everything else. Everything else. We may not respect who God commands us to honor, but we will do it out of honor to God who we do honor. Jesus said this about Himself. Wow, here's a bomb. Everyone should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Notice how He connects honoring the Son to honoring the Father. So if you're not honoring the Son, you're not honoring the Father. So what does that tell us about our culture? Let me ask you a question. What do you honor most in life? What is it that raises your hackles if it's dishonored? Whatever it is reveals just how deeply God's been able to transform your values. What you honor. What you honor. I honor this sanctuary. It's just brick and stone, mortar, steel, Lord knows what else. But you know what? It's more than just a building to me. This is where we meet God. So I walk in, I honor it. There's an honor I have. See what I'm saying? Honor is powerful. So say with me, honor God and what He honors. That's a kingdom value. Now let me give you a second one. What you serve. Jesus said to the devil in the wilderness, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Him only. Him only. Him only shall you serve. He later taught in the Sermon on the Mount. We read it last week. Nobody can serve two masters. We could say two gods. For you will hate one and love the other, or else the other way around. We are not wired to be able to worship two gods. We're going to worship one. Now, he said you're to serve exclusively the Creator God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We're to serve Him. We're all hardwired to serve just one. He said, if you try to serve two, it's going to turn into a love-hate relationship. You will eventually hate one in order to fully love the other. You can't love two at the same time. You can't live a duplicitous life in the gods you worship and serve. You will finally choose one and serve it and reject and even hate the other one. So one of the most important kingdom values Jesus taught is what or who you serve. Now you're thinking, well, Jeff, right now, I just want to do my own thing, man. Go my own way. Stay free from this serving God business. Well, okay, but let me tell you the truth. If you think you're a free agent in the game of life and you're only serving what you want, the Bible says otherwise. You're not a free agent. Did you know the Bible teaches that every human being on earth is going to serve one of two things, sin and Satan, or the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to serve sin and Satan or the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not a free agent. There are no free agents. Everybody is serving something. And you're going to serve sin and Satan or Jesus Christ. Let me prove it to you. Paul wrote, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin. Everybody say, I know that's right. Come on, don't look at me with that halo. We used to live in sin and love sin. But look what happened. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Notice, living in sin, obeying the devil. Does that sound like freedom to you? Living in sin and obeying the devil. So that's the lost person. But then here comes the saved person. But being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Notice, servants, servants. So why did Jesus come? He came to get us to heaven, but also to set us free while we're on earth so that we could quit serving sin and Satan and serve Him. What are you serving today? Who are you serving today? It's a kingdom value to totally sell out to God and serve Him all the days of your life. Isn't it funny? Serving God is what sets you free. Being His servant is what actually sets you free. The more submitted to Him you are, that sounds like you're going into some kind of tight bondage. You don't like the sound of, oh, I don't want to just live serving God. But the more you serve God, the freer you get. And the more you serve sin and Satan, the more bound you get. So it's a choice, and everybody is serving one of those two. Let me promise you something. Jesus' yoke is easy, and His burden is light. But the way of sinners is hard. Sin is hard on you. So I want to say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will, say it with me, serve the Lord. So it's a kingdom value to say, okay, I was redeemed to serve. What do you want me to do today, Jesus? What do you want me to obey? What are you telling me to do? Where are you leading me? I'm going to follow what you taught. I'm not even going to hear it, but I'm going to do it. That's serving God. I love serving God. It blesses me to serve God. I've given my life serving God. And I'm doing pretty good. He took care of me. Y'all were so quiet. Ooh. I know when the wheels are turning. Now let me give you one more kingdom value, what you pursue. So say with me, what you honor, what you serve, what you pursue. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. You could put it this way. I'm stealing it from Stephen Covey. Here's a saying. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. I wish I'd thought of that. But it's true. Everybody say with me, the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. That's what Jesus was saying. Seek first the kingdom of God. Keep the main thing, the main thing. So he's given us a priority. He's given us a first thing in life. It's a kingdom value. And it really comes down to, what is your life aimed at? What are you living for? Is your life aimed at walking with Jesus, or is it aimed at something else? What does your heart have passion for? When we wake up in the morning, what is that one thing you're in hot pursuit of? What is your aim in life? Seek first the kingdom, or you're going to seek something else first. What or who sits on the throne of your heart? Jesus said, whatever your treasure is, that's where I'm going to find your heart. And I'm going to take it a step further. Wherever your heart is, that's where we're going to find you walking towards. Your feet will follow wherever your heart is. So if we put anything else in the position of first in our life, we've stepped away from kingdom values. Say with me, values. Values. Say what you honor, what you serve, what you pursue. I was talking to somebody last week, and I'll close with this. Their lives were a gigantic mess, real mess. I mean, really, how do you unscramble these eggs? But I said this to them. Anytime I've gotten away from the will of God or out of the will of God or made some decisions that were against his will, and I paid a price for it, because whenever you adopt cultural values, they bring pain. So whenever I've done that, the first thing I do, very first thing, to get on the right track is I think of that wagon wheel, the old stagecoach wagon wheel. It was wooden, had a hub, and wooden spokes came out from the hub and supported the rest of the wheel. I told them, if I lit that hub on fire and it began to crumble and fall apart, all the other spokes going out from it, holding the wheel, would also get lit and be destroyed, and the entire wheel would collapse, which is your life. So the hub is Jesus at the center. That's the hub. If cultural values are guiding your life and he's not at the center, that hub is on fire, and it's only a matter of time before it reaches out. Here's one spoke, your finances. Here's another spoke, your marriage. Here's another spoke, the rest of your relationships in life. Here's another spoke, temptation and what you're giving into or not. All the issues of life are connected to that hub. So if the hub is good, the rest of the wheel is solid. But if it's on fire and it's in trouble, that wheel is about to collapse, and great will be the fall of it, Jesus said. So that's why it's a kingdom value. What are you pursuing? For any kingdom child of God, our pursuit has to be him. Him. Not the only pursuit, but the first pursuit. Amen? Say with me again, what you honor. That's a kingdom value. What you serve and what you pursue.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled Living on Purpose, in this series called The Foundation That Does Not Fall. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.